The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to know, if you're visiting with us, it's such a privilege to have you here. Perchance you didn't have a Bible with you today, and if that's the case, we provided a few Bibles. You might be very helpful if you follow along with us. If you just turn to page 958, you would be right with us today. And we'll be looking at this glorious text on the Lord's Supper. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. This is God's Word. God's Word is true. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Now, I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. But when you come together, it's not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Grass withers and the flower fades. God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Please be seated. So I'm going to ask again for your permission and your acceptance and your focused direction, specifically in an area. Maybe I can start it this way. You'll note that the title says Revival in the Lord's Supper. Why would I say that? Well, Harry, you're in the series on revival and you're tying the Lord's Supper in. Well, it's more than that. Actually, I believe, catch this, I believe that the Lord's Supper is divinely designed as a regular instrument for your renewal and your revival personally and us corporately as a church. In other words, I believe it is designed. You know, we have churches that say, well, we're going to have revival services. Well, every Lord's Supper, every communion service is designed by God for renewal and revival. But this glorious instrument can be misused as well. There are two things in that text that I read. In fact, it was in the opening verse. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. He says, when you come together. Now, that's interesting. Did you know that the Greek word for church is the word ekklesia? It's a noun that means the called together ones. essentially what Paul has done is used the verb form of that noun. And he does it five times. I tried to emphasize it while I was reading it so that you might catch it. Five times this phrase is found. When you come together. When you come together. What's the church? The called together ones. He says, when you gather, when you assemble, when the church meets, he says, this is something I've provided for you. So pretty quickly we see that the Lord's Supper is not something for personal administration, nor specific groups in the church. It is something to be celebrated in the assembly of the entire church when we come together. When we come together, we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. And then you'll notice another phrase that was stated. This one was stated in this manner. When you come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me the Lord's Supper is designed by God for my better, for me to grow. Well, that automatically tells me all of us need to grow. So nobody here is perfect, right? If you're perfect, would you go ahead and raise your hand, please? Okay. All right. So I'm on solid ground here. You are right with the Bible, because you can't get better if you're already perfect, right? So this is for God's people to grow, to be renewed, to be refreshed. Here's the phrase I like to use with it. Three things. The Lord's Supper renews, refreshes, and recalibrates us. That's how revival is taking place. It recalibrates our focus. Now, but it's possible that you'd misuse the Lord's Supper and what was designed for our good actually becomes a liability. In fact, he says, some of you, the Lord has had to discipline you. Some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some he even has taken on because of the way they were misusing the Lord's Supper to defame the Lord and humiliate others. He said, you're not judged like the world, but you are being disciplined by the Lord. So the Lord's Supper is a sacred supper designed for our benefit, but can become a liability if we do not embrace it properly. Our benefit is through recalibration, renewal, and refreshment. It is there for us to be revived in the Lord on a regular basis. In the life and ministry of this church, 10 times every year, we come to this table in order to be renewed and revived in the Lord. Well, what is it that accomplishes that? You will remember that we have talked about revival, and I've given you a definition of it. Let me remind you what it is that revival is an extraordinary work of God's grace through ordinary people in ordinary places with ordinary means for an extraordinary purpose for God's glory. It's an extraordinary work with an extraordinary purpose, but it happens through ordinary people. Here are some ordinary people here today. In an ordinary place. Now, I love Birmingham, but it is an ordinary place. Although I tell people you ought to visit here, then it won't be a culture shock when you get to heaven. So, I think it's a kind of a special place in one way. So, ordinary people, ordinary place, through ordinary means. Preaching, prayer, fellowship, those ordinary means that God has ordained, including the sacraments, both have been displayed to you today for your renewal and revival. Baptism, now the Lord's Supper, for the better, not for the worse, but for the better. You've seen this. You know, one of the things we've made a point is that one of the reasons we're focused on revival is because we have a heart for our nation. We're praying that God would send a gospel awakening to our nation, even as we are committed to the gospel going to all the nations and to all the nations that are coming to this nation. What a glorious privilege with our Chinese and Japanese, and I can't name all of them, but Japanese, Korean, and the various ethnic people that are here in our city that are part of this congregation. It is such a joy that not only our ethnic churches, but our international Sunday school class, all of that is a joy. So we want the gospel to have a gospel movement throughout our nation and go to all the nations and those from the nations who come here. But that happens through a revived church. So God, give revival to your church in this nation. Bring an extraordinary work of your grace through ordinary people in ordinary places through these ordinary means, that for an extraordinary purpose to see the gospel of the kingdom sweep thousands of people in to see Christ. You know, the Bible is full of such revivals that lead to awakenings. It's full of them, and history is full of them. But the two that stand out to me, one we studied last 2 weeks ago, the revival in Jerusalem, where 120 in the church at Jerusalem were revived in the upper room, and then out into the temple square and the temple mount, and thousands were brought in from all of the nations that were there. Thousands brought to Christ. That revival and gospel awakening. And then did you see what it said? If you went further to read, as the thousands began to assemble as the church and come together, it said this: they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, and to the prayers. In other words, the Lord's Supper became a constant instrument of revival and renewal in the life of that church. A second great movement of revival that has led to a glorious awakening, gospel awakening. Well, we're celebrating it this year. You know what this year is? This year is 2000 and what? 17. 500 years ago, on October the 31st, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the Castle Church in Wittenberg. And those 95 theses were used of God to ignite something called the Reformation. And in that Reformation, there was a glorious movement of the gospel that spread to nations and keeps spreading to this day for 500 years. And one of the things that was reclaimed for the life of the people was the Lord's Supper. Did you know 500 years ago, if you had walked into on a Sunday into a church, you would not have had a Bible. You would not have had a hymn book. You would have heard no preaching. You would have heard no Bible reading. Everything would have been done in a language that you didn't know. And it would be something that you watched. You did not participate. You watched. And the table would be removed and lifted up and inaccessible unless other men allowed it. That's what would have happened 500 years ago. Today, you got a Bible. Today, this table isn't lifted up. A pulpit is lifted up, but the table is down where you are. And no fence around it of a human being, for a way has been opened for you. And you're hearing God's word in your language. You've got it in your hands. And the preaching of it is there. In other words, the revival ministry of the Lord's Supper had been reclaimed from superstition and inaccessibility. And now you have access to it. But do we come in a way that's better or worse? How do we come to the Lord's Supper? So if you don't mind, I'm going to take just a few minutes to do something that I would love to do. Well, it's the kind of thing we do with these children once they come to Christ and profess their faith and talk with them about the Lord's Supper, and they are now participating in the Lord's Supper. It's something that I do when you come to the sacrament 3D night and you want to, and we talk about the Lord's Supper. This is something I normally would do on a Sunday night, but because of the importance that you make full use of the Lord's Supper each and every time it's offered for your benefit, how by God's Spirit in God's grace, am I positioned that this is for the better and not for the worse in my life? How can I do that? I believe there's some things that will help, and I'm just going to outline them for you and give them to you. Let me give them this way to you. Here's the first one. The first one is this. When we come to the Lord's Supper, that it might be an instrument of recalibration and refreshment and renewal and revival, then you come to the Lord's Supper in a manner worthy. Did you hear what it said in the text? I'm just using the text now. Come in a manner worthy. Now, that is not saying that we are worthy. It says to come in a manner worthy. Come in a way, and then it goes to tell you what is a worthy manner. You are prepared. You examine yourself. You examine yourself in your relationship to the Lord. You examine yourself in relationship to the body of Christ and other believers. When the Lord's Supper is coming, you are sitting down with God's people. If you've got aught against your brother or your sister, you know that it's going to be there. You will know, you see, in the life of this church, we celebrate the Lord's Supper 10 times a year. We can't do it more and have done it more, but at least 10 times a year. And it's always announced. Why? So that you will prepare yourself. Not step in and say, oh my goodness, they're having the Lord's Supper today. No, it's been announced. Now you got to read the weekly and you got to listen to the ministry announcements and things like that. But it's announced so that you can be prepared, examining yourself in your relationship with the Lord and each other. And if I've got aught against my brother, I am called of God to get that settled before I come to the table. And if I have hidden peace treaties with sin in my life before God, I'm called to deal with him. Examine myself. Secondly, the second thing is the primacy of preaching. Whenever you come to the Lord's Supper, the table's there, the pulpit's here. The pulpit is lifted up, and you never come to the table without the pulpit having been used for the preaching of God's Word. Why? Because you are about to partake of Jesus Christ, body and blood, not physically, but spiritually, by faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. So that began to sweep 500 years ago as churches took the pulpits that were tacked onto the side of a side column and put them in the middle. That took the Lord's table and no longer was it up and exalted in a superstitious notion of salvation, but now brought to the floor. Accessible by God's people. And God's people are prepared personally and then prepared by preaching so that they can come to partake of Jesus by faith with the primacy of the preaching of God's word. Number three is the placement of the table and the minister. Here is the table accessible to you. There it is. And please notice this. These are things you ought to know. They contribute to the better as you participate in the Lord's Supper. You don't see us in the Reformed Church, Reformation Church, bring the table to you and stand between you and the table. You don't come through me to get to the table. You go to Jesus. And this is his table. And in Jesus, you come to the table. That's why I never stand in front of it. Always behind it. That's where we stand. You come to him. And these elders bring the elements to you. But they receive them last. They're servants. They're servants that we thank God for their shepherding. You receive before they do. They receive them last. Those things are making a very clear statement that is there to remove any notion of the exaltation of any institution or any individual, but that you would recalibrate and come back to Christ and His body and His blood in your life. So you come in a manner worthy. There is the primacy of preaching so that we come by faith, having heard the word of God, to the table. There is the placement of the table, the placement of the ministry, the placement of those who are serving. Number four, there the elements are divinely designated. We didn't come up with these elements. God set them aside. The fruit of the vine, bitter sweet. Our sins are bitter, but God's grace is greater in its sweetness. The leaven, that God has removed the leaven of our sin from us. The unleavened bread proclaims that. That He has pointedly brought this table with these normal everyday elements, common elements, for a holy and sacred use, just like He takes common men and women like me and you and uses us for a holy purpose. And then there's also the elements that are given. Number five, the elements are designated. And then how do the elements come to you? You don't come up and grab them. They're given to you. The body and blood of Christ is given for you. This is a statement of God's grace in providing our Savior for us. And not only the elements given, they are then received by you. They are received. And notice that they are received as God uses elders to bring them to you and uses each one of you to give to each other, the priesthood of the believers. That's a great moment when you turn to the person next to you. Even as the disciples that day received the bread and the cup and then turned and gave it to each other. So we do. God is using us in each other's lives. And not only are the elements given and the elements received, but the elements are taken. Take, eat, take, drink. How are we able to do that? Because God's grace has taken us from death unto life. We were dead in our sins. Now we're alive. We can believe and follow Christ. We can take and eat and receive. That He has given us the ability to focus upon Him and to walk with Him and to receive what He has given to us. And then the glorious truth that not only are they given and received and taken, but eighth, they are also bring our focus to one place, and that is Christ. In fact, when you come to this table, there's the echo of a table in the past. What is the table in the past? The Passover feast from the Old Covenant, where the leaven is removed and the lamb is slain. But that bloody meal is done away with because it's fulfilled in Christ, who is our Passover. So when you come to this table, we sacrifice no lamb. We celebrate the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice has saved us, His body and His blood. Our focus is on Christ. Isn't that interesting? You know, it's really interesting. Here is the virgin birth of Christ. Here is the cross of Christ. Here is the empty tomb of Christ. Here is the ascension of Christ. Here is the second coming of Christ. And all of those are embedded in the Lord's Supper. But one is singled out for our focus. The body and blood. The cross. The sacrifice of Christ. Remembering what He had done. Now, that sacrifice is meaningless without the virgin birth. That sacrifice was affirmed by His resurrection, and He has ascended. And we do this until He comes again. That means He is coming again. So all of those are embedded in the Lord's Supper, but where is He putting you? He is putting you back to the cross. Why? Because there are some of you sitting here that are very sensitive to your sin, and you are grieving over it. And He is reminding you at the table of the cross where He paid for your sins And while praise God for your life of committed holiness, it's not your holiness that gets His love. His love has already been poured out at the cross for you. And then there are some of us who get insensitive to our sins. And this table reminds us of what our sin cost God. And how much we ought to hate our sin and make no pacts of friendship with sin in our life. That's what this table does. It recalibrates us back to the cross of Christ, where the love of God met the holiness of God. And sinners were saved by the grace of God to the glory of God. The word of the cross, Christ, is our life. And the cross secures our hope. That brings me to number 9, and that is a resolve to share that with others. You proclaim the gospel until He comes again. This is our, when we gather to celebrate this, we're going to scatter to tell people about it. And finally, this table will be celebrated until He comes again, and that takes us to another table, a table in the future. It's the wedding feast, the table of the Lamb, where we will go there to be with Him. And we will sit at that table. Here, this table, we partake of Him. That table, we will be sitting with Him. So, my dear brothers and sisters, every time this is done, it's revival time. We're recalibrated. We're refreshed. We're renewed. As we come to the Lord's table, and as we come to this table, He recalibrates us and refreshes us and renews us so that Christ alone is the center. Man, look at this world. It's identity, everything. My identity is this, my identity. You know what our identity is? Simple. Jesus. We're Christians. No matter what color we are, no matter where we've come from, we're aware of all of the dynamics in the life. But Christ is our life. The cross is our hope. Christ is the center. Christ is the circumference. Christ is the substance. Christ is the sum of our life. And the table both shouts and whispers to our hearts. And it tells you and me, it tells you and me that you're never so far away that the Savior cannot reach you. And you're never so close that you don't need to be closer. And the table says, you're never so bad, as one of my professors said to me, you are never so bad that Jesus cannot save you from your sins. And you're never so good that you don't need your Savior. Come. Taste. Drink. See. The Lord is good. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this table, would you come and meet with us by your Spirit? May we focus upon Jesus. Die to ourselves. Love one another. And bring the mercy and gospel of grace to the world. Refresh us. Renew us. Recalibrate us. Revive our very soul in these moments. For Jesus' sake, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.